You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Shondell Marks, it is 7 minutes past the hour. Sunshine this morning. Highs getting up close to 80 degrees. We'll see a few clouds along the way, but it's bright and beautiful in downtown Madison, Wisconsin. John Peterson, Gordy Young, along with Dominic Lee, our producer, as we move into the 7 o'clock hour. This portion of the show brought to you by Verlo Mattress. You can start the school year off right with a mattress set built just for your student, John. It's time for you get a better night's sleep and for them to get a better night's sleep, too, with a new Verlo mattress. You know, for bigger dreams, those students really need to sleep well.
I think you're right.
Good sleep is important.
Oh.
And you can find that with a Verlo mattress.
They it's a heavy trip, man.
Okay, thank you for that. It's back to school time all this month at Verlo Mattress. Oh, go to Verlo Mattress on the east side or the west side.
You flustered him here.
Check them out at verlo.com. Want to remind you, our listener appreciation party is happening September 6th at Downdrin's Distilling in Cottage Grove. You can be a part of it. It's free and open to the public, and you can just show up on September 6th at 3 o'clock at Downdrin's Distilling. But we also have a VIP invite to offer. If you want to get in on this, you can text us the word tea. That's the key word. Get that into us before 8 a.m. and that will get you the WMDX swag bag and also a free tour of Downdrin's Distilling and a tasting of some of their spirits. Again, the key word is tea. So get that into us. We'll have a couple of winners from today and we'll notify you if you are a winner. Okay.
That's great.
John Peterson, over to you.
All right. Well, pick up a little bit of Idiocracy here this morning. Why not, right?
Sure.
I mean, there's so much going on that is just insane.
It never ends.
And crazy. And I think let's start off with the ultimate fighting challenge.
Uh-oh. Really?
That's going to be at the White House celebrating the 250th birthday of our nation. And I can't think of a better way to do it than having just free for all.
They're going to have a UFC
on the White House
fight?
Lawn.
Really?
Yeah.
They're going to set up the ring and have a fight.
That's right.
A UFC fight.
Yes. And a little nepotism is also a part of this. UFC CEO Dana White stated that Trump requested his daughter Ivanka be involved in the planning of the event. So there you go.
Why are they hauling her in?
Well, you know, everybody's got to get paid. They're trying to make as much money out of this as they possibly can while they have the 4 years. Let's listen to cut 117, all right?
Oh, listen to this.
So every one of our national park battlefields and historic sites are going to have special events in honor of America 250, and I even think we're going to have a UFC fight. Does anybody watch UFC, the great Dana White?
No.
Oh, God.
We're going to have a UFC fight. We're going to have a UFC fight. Think of this on the grounds of the White House.
I'm thinking about it.
We have a lot of land there. We're going to build a little. We're not. Dana's going to do it. Dana's great. One of a kind. We're going to have a UFC fight. God. Championship fight. Full fight. Like 20, 25,000 people.
Yeah.
We're going to do that as part of 250 also. We're going to have some incredible events, some professional events, some amateur events. But the UFC fight's going to be a big deal.
Well, I'm sure that'll be great.
Whose idea was that? Why would they do this?
I think there's a term that we often bandy about, and that is white trash. This is. I don't know why. Why don't we just put a little trailer park in the back of the White House? What is
a bunch of trailers.
Again, you know, having been a census taker, there are great people out in the trailer parks. You know, really nice people. I nothing bad against them. I'm just saying that you know. The standard, truly southern is something else. Anyway, look, this is the way it is, and we're going to have to accept it. PragerU giving us our educational material now.
But a UFC fight on the White House lawn?
But don't worry about the damn lawn, because Trump knows everything about grass.
Oh, that's right.
All right?
Yes.
So
he's a grass expert.
Well, did you hear that? I did too.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, how did he get on this ramble?
Let's listen to Cut 113, the grass expert who knows all about lawns and golf courses.
We're going to be redoing the parks, redoing the grass. You know, grass is a lifetime, like people have a lifetime.
What?
And the lifetime of this grass has long been gone when you look at the parks where the grass is
all
tired, exhausted. We're going to redo the grass with the finest grasses. I know a lot about grass because I own a lot of golf courses, and if you don't have good grass, you're not in business.
Grass. Oh, man. He's just really gone off the rails.
Now, you know, if Cheech and Chong were popular today, we could take grass a little bit differently, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So he knows everything.
He knows about everything grass. About grass.
It's looking a little tired.
Boy.
God. There's nothing left, is there? It really isn't anything left. And listen to this from Rachel Maddow. She was talking about the National Guard and D.C. and how this opens up a whole new avenue of stopping crime in capital city. Listen, it's cut 108. 108.
Okay.
All right.
Here we go.
Let's listen.
President Trump today deployed hundreds of National Guardsmen and women into Washington, D.C. Send the U.S. military to become the police force in Washington, D.C. The lead in the Washington Post tonight, quote, President Donald Trump announced today that he is placing the D.C. police under direct federal control and will deploy the National Guard to the streets of Washington, an extraordinary flex of federal power that stripped city leadership of its ability to make law enforcement decisions and could expose residents of the nation's capital to unpredictable encounters with a domestically deployed military force. A domestically deployed military force. Because tough on crime.
That's right.
You think it's really about crime? You think it's really about being tough on crime? Do you want to maybe track down the axe and machete triple murderer Trump just released to the streets of Orlando to go ask him if he thinks it's about being tough on crime?
Probably not, then.
Or you maybe want to pop in to ask Ghislaine at that Bureau of Prisons Crown Jewel facility that kind of looks like a community college?
I guess
want to go ask her?
Lost our argument.
Think it's
there.
Because he's so tough on crime?
Yeah.
No, I guess not.
That said, I mean, let's be generous here. Maybe it's not really just a generic tough on crime thing. Maybe it's specifically because it's D.C., which is the seat of the U.S. federal government. So even for a city enjoying a 30-year low in violent crime, maybe that's still just an intolerable amount of crime, specifically because it's D.C., and D.C. is where the federal government is, and maybe he's just really sensitive about protecting the federal government. Maybe he's really sensitive and really focused when it comes to protecting the seat of the federal government from any kind of crime. January 6th, no, forget about that. He's just sensitive about it now. Maybe that's it. Well, let's see. Today's Monday. On Friday, this happened. A sustained violent attack on the headquarters of the federal government Centers for Disease Control and Prevention.
That's right.
See all those little pockmarks, those little holes? Those are bullet holes in the CDC. More than 180 shots fired. He was found with 5 guns, including 4 long guns, and bullets that he fired at the CDC broke at least 150 windows. One police officer was killed. The gunman died as well. It's not clear if he shot himself or was shot by law enforcement. It is a miracle, obviously, that CDC personnel other than the police officer protecting them were not killed. The head of the agency that includes the CDC, Donald Trump's health secretary, Robert F. Kennedy, posted this online after the shooting.
He's showing fish.
This was his response.
That, yeah.
It wasn't until later, and after he'd finished posting his fishing pictures, that he got around to expressing condolences for the, you know, shooting or whatever.
That's what happened.
This major attack on a federal government facility, again, 180 shots fired into the CDC. This major attack on a federal government facility has so far garnered no response whatsoever from President Donald Trump, let alone an armed response into Atlanta, where the CDC headquarters is. But he did send in the National Guard to Washington, D.C. today because tough on crime, you think? Mm-hmm. Maybe it's not about crime. Maybe it's not about defending the federal government from threats, right? Maybe it's not about any other thing he might voice. Maybe it's what you can see with your own two eyes. Maybe it's that he really enjoys using U.S. military force against American civilians on American soil and wants any excuse to do it anywhere he can.
Yeah, I think that's it.
That's it. Yeah, right at the end.
Yeah.
It's a show. It's a show of force, but it's all a show for the cameras.
You know, the thing with RFK Jr., not saying anything, not doing anything, on a fishing trip, showing pictures of his catch.
Right.
Remember the big deal that Mecca's made over Pete Buttigieg not being at every possible train wreck?
Right.
I mean, that is something to consider. They were outraged by that. Sure. Why wasn't he there?
Why wasn't he
there? Well, there's a train wreck, I think, in Texas, wasn't it? Toxic material. Yeah. None of it is leaking, but I don't see Sean Duffy hanging around. I don't see anybody complaining that Sean Duffy hasn't been there and standing on those trains, making sure everybody's doing their thing. No complaints. Yeah. Where are the megas? Let's go to the phone lines right now. Dick, what do you got?
Good morning, Dick.
Good morning. Real quick on the D.C. thing, something that Malcolm Nance said yesterday, hit it out of the park.
Yeah.
He goes, how did the city go from, you know, having his little parade get together to just this horrible crime-laden place?
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's a home run, is it?
It
but
really
here's another
is.
One that just cracked me up. He wants all his data. I just read this story on, you know, who's going to what college and who's being admitted and all this stuff. Okay? Mm-hmm. That comes from the education department. And that group that was getting and collecting all that data, there were 100 people there. Now there's 4.
Wow.
Who made the cuts?
Yeah.
And now he's demanding all this stuff. Why aren't white males and Asian? I can't believe he really cares about Asian people, but that's what they're saying they need this information for.
Yeah.
And yet, you know, when you slash it from 100 people specifically dealing with that to 4.
It's obviously, not going to work.
Consequences.
Yeah. All right.
Dick, thank you for that call.
Yeah, thank you for pointing that out, too. It's just, it really is. I mean, the stark difference between having this big parade in D.C. Suddenly, it's, the way you described it, you know, the homeless people who don't commit crimes, they don't have the ability to do that.
Yeah.
They're carrying around their stuff.
Right.
So, I don't know, you know, getting rid of, hey, you guys better leave now. It's like they have been just hanging out because they haven't gotten a ride yet. Mm. You know, it's just.
It just doesn't make it silly stuff. It's nonsensical.
Yeah, nonsensical.
This portion of the show brought to you by Madison Hearing Aid Center. Check with them for fast and flexible appointments. While others have 6-month wait times, they can get you in within a week or less. Give them a call. Madison Hearing Aid Center, 608-249-4077, or go to their website, madisonhearingaidcenter.com. They are at 4706 Cottage Grove Road in Madison. Madison Hearing Aid Center. Coming right back, we'll update the weather and have much more of John and Gordy in the Morning from Madison, Wisconsin, WMDX.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Oh, yeah. WMDX, it's 92.7. And you know who this is?
Yeah, who?
John Peterson.
Yeah. And Gordy Young.
Yeah.
along with Dom Lee, our producer, broadcasting from beautiful State Street in Madison. This portion of the show brought to you by Verlo Mattress. They're having a back-to-school sale all this month. You can start the school year out right with a new mattress set for your student. It's time to get it together. Give them a better night's sleep with a new Verlo Mattress. Go to Verlo Mattress, east side location in Madison or west side location in Madison, or just go to verlo.com and find out more right there. Again, phone lines are the texts are open. Civic Media text is the way to do the listener appreciation party if you want to get in on this. The party is happening September 6th, 3 p.m. at Downdrin's Distilling in Cottage Grove. We're asking all of our listeners, you can show up. It's open to the public, and it's free to just come on in. We're going to get together and socialize and have a few drinks along the way, and it's a family-friendly place as well. There is a children's playground at Downdrin's Distilling, and you have a chance to get a VIP invite if you text us the word tea. That's T-E-A. Text that to us on your Civic Media app, and you and a guest will get a free tour of the distillery, tasting some of their spirits, and also get a WMDX swag bag. Again, that's Saturday, September 6th at 3 p.m. at Downdrin's Distilling. Just go to our website, WMDXradio.com, for more information. You can click on the Downdrin's Distilling VIP banner there and find out a lot more. By the way, that poll is continuing, John. Which side of town? This is on our WMDXradio.com website.
Oh.
Which side of town has it better, east side or west side in Madison? Do you want to guess who's ahead?
The west side.
I'm guessing west side.
You're wrong.
Okay.
East side, 55%. West side, 44%.
It's close.
They have it, but you know, has it better? Who has it better? What does that actually mean?
Yeah.
Who has it better? Which is nicer? Which is more convenient
for people to live in? I will admit, I think there are a lot of great places to go on the east side.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of different eclectic places to go.
Yeah.
And I think they may have the upper hand on this. I have often complained saying, why did they build that store there? Why didn't they do it on the west side? I have often complained.
The east side has a lot of music happening. Yeah. You know, and it's got Willie Street, of course, you know, the famed street over there.
Yeah.
But
they got the movie theaters at the mall where they serve food and beer.
Right.
I thought, why didn't they do that on the west side?
Isn't the east side like older?
Yes.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Generally speaking.
There's a lot of development out there, and they've put in new stores, bigger stores.
Yeah.
I'm a shopper.
Yeah,
I'll just admit that.
You are.
Well, you know, if
you finally admit it.
If you live part-time at Costco, you must be a shopper. Well, yeah, I was watching this poll, Ipsos poll.
Yeah.
And I'm maybe it hasn't taken into consideration DC in this, but who handles crime better? You know, and believe this or not, minus 26 for Joe Biden, okay, plus one for Trump for handling crime.
What?
People seem to think that this is the way to handle crime, is just put, the National Guard, Marines, the police out in the streets running
rough
things?
Up people.
Having checkpoints? Come on. What in the hell is... I said this before Trump was elected, but I thought I was getting a sense that a lot of people did want to see a dictatorship.
Really?
That they were thinking that this is the way to go.
Yeah.
I think I have a dictatorship clip there, don't I? Right at the top. I just added it. I believe, look into the file there. I think we have one.
Okay. Something on dictatorship there for Dom? Okay.
Yeah.
He's got it.
Why don't we play this? This is done before the election.
Okay.
We're going to fight crime.
Yeah.
That's a good thing. Already they're saying, he's a dictator. The place is going to hell, and we've got to stop it. So instead of saying he's a dictator, they should say, we're going to join him and make Washington safe. But they say, he's a dictator. And then they end up getting mugged, but the stats are very bad. But we're going to...
there he goes.
I think we'll actually get Democrat support.
Stick to the script.
They can't do this one, too.
Just rambling. So,
yeah.
Just stumbles off the stage. Can you imagine being his assistant?
I honestly just don't get it.
I know.
What is it these people see? Oh, my God, you know, it just doesn't end. And your head splits, it breaks.
I know.
You can't wrap your head around anything that he's saying, and everybody loves it, and he's a plus one for handling crime in the country, as opposed to Biden. You know, the thing is, with Biden, the Republicans were so adamant about Biden being a criminal that the public, you know, started believing it. And again, this is what I've been saying all along, is that when you have somebody who runs for president for 4 years, this is what Trump did. 4 years he ran. He had rallies all over the country. He ran to be president this time around. That's why he won. And we had a three-month period for Kamala to make an impression.
Right.
And it was very close.
It was.
Very close. In fact, Trump didn't get the popular vote, when you consider Kamala's votes and all the independents that got votes, Trump came in second. So it's just insane to think. And this is Trump now.
It's a crazy,
saying that, hey, you know.
Crazy upside down world. Well, Jim Santel will be along shortly to make sense of it all for us. He's going to bring us some clarity.
All right.
Around the corner. First, we're going to check in with the Midwest Food and Farm Report. Then we'll be back with attorney Jim Santel in our next half hour of John and Gordy in the Morning on WMDX Madison.
WMDX, John and Gordy in the Morning.
7:35, sunshine to start the day. We'll see a few clouds along the way and highs near 80 degrees. Want to remind you again, our listener appreciation party, you are invited to it. It's open to the public. We're gathering everybody together September 6th at Downdrin's Distilling in Cottage Grove to socialize and have a fun get-together. You can bring the kids. They have a playground out there. And we're giving you a chance to also win a VIP invite to that party. So everybody's invited, okay? It's open and free to the public. But if you want to get a VIP invite, you get a little something extra, a free tour of the distillery for you and a guest, and a tasting of some of their spirits, and a WMDX swag bag. How do you enter? Well, you can send us an entry right now with your Civic Media app. Just jump on there and text us the word T. That's T-E-A before 8 a.m. And we'll draw a couple of winners today. We'll have another chance tomorrow. And next week, we'll have some more chances to win. Jim Santel has indicated he might be available to come to that Downdrin's Distilling listener appreciation party. Good morning, Jim.
Unless something comes up.
I know you're a very busy guy.
I am especially attracted to it, as should all your listeners be, by the fact that Dom told me, in addition to all those wonderful other package things, the two of you are going to be doing dramatic readings of some of my president's most significant recent statements. And I'm looking forward to that. I think we all are.
I actually think that's a great idea.
That could be a lot of fun. Yeah, that could be fun.
Jim, good morning to you.
Good morning, gentlemen. Yeah. Good to see you.
Yeah, we would love to have you there if you can make it.
I do want to get to just a few of our texts before we get into anything else here. I want to get to Mac. Matt out in Middleton. Trump constantly and consistently calls everyone that is not MAGA radical to deflect from the fact that MAGA is extremist and 100% radical. The simple-minded eat this stuff up, and deflects from every other word that he says. That's one of the responses that we had. Also, I was thinking that PragerU was where all pregnant students were going to go to school. Sounds like another Southern idea.
Let's see. We were talking education with Tim Slecker earlier about
and
that.
Somebody recommended a website to go to because there is an AI that's built with empathy.
Really?
So they have a link there, and I don't know if we'll post that any place.
Yeah, we should. Tom can post that.
And
I
believe that CJ is likely taking notes on our criticism of Trump and preparing to denounce us to Trump's Ministry of Truth Social. By the way, he said he's going to make it out to our party.
Or CJ is? Yeah. Oh, that'll be a lot of fun to see him. Hey, he's like I say, everybody's invited.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I'd like to meet CJ.
I'm here. All right. Okay. And all right. I know that Matt Rothschild actually went out with him, right?
Oh, is that right?
For coffee.
Really? Yeah. With CJ?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
We always reach out to the other side. They don't give a damn about us. All right. Well, anyway. Jim,
okay.
I'm sorry to have interrupted
Jim's
here.
Jim's sitting here patiently waiting.
Well, he's got a lot of stuff here to get to. And, you know, let's talk about D.C. We've been talking about it. And
yeah.
Of course, he's going to plant greener grass now. He knows everything about grass out in D.C.
Yes. The president is
that's right.
Focused on grass now.
That's right. Yeah. But what about the military takeover where they have checkpoints now in the street? Isn't that something?
In D.C., yeah.
It is something, and I happen to bring a little bit of additional perspective on this. Obviously, for about 30 years, I worked for domestic law enforcement, and then for 2 years, as gentlemen, as you and some of your listeners know, I was in Iraq during the war, 2006-2008, and brought home to me something that we academically have always understood, that the functions of domestic policing are dramatically different, the missions of it are dramatically, significantly different than our military operations, right? Mm-hmm. The purpose of, as we all know, war is disaster. It is catastrophe. It needs necessarily, there are just wars out there. We have seen them. They've been in our history, but it is catastrophe. And the point behind military operations are destruction and bringing an enemy to its knees. Yep. That is a very different functional thing. And again, General Petraeus would talk about this and others in the military there, a very different function than doing something else that we're also responsible for, not only in Baghdad, but now, of course, always in America, a domestic policing operation. Again, different function, different purpose. What is the purpose of domestic policing? It is service and safety and security. It is just the opposite of what a military operation is. Now, not to say that some of those don't overlap from time to time. When I was in Iraq, plainly trying to maintain safety and security inside the urban areas of Baghdad and Kirkuk and Mosul, other places, but they are fundamentally different operations. And that's why, for example, when you mention these checkpoints and the other encounters that, again, residents of the District of Columbia, visitors there will have, you've got a very different approach when you are in the military than when you are in a domestic police force. And I certainly do hope that my prediction does not come true, but the possibility of having some catastrophic event because of that difference in mission. And that's what really concerns me. And again, beyond that, of course, as you have said in this broadcast repeatedly, there's no reason for this at all. A 30% reduction from last year alone in terms of crime. You can go there. I'm not saying you walk around every place in every neighborhood at 2 o'clock in the morning, but it is a relatively safe city, given some of our other challenges in America, not one that needs our military intervention at this time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's crazy. And I know that the right wing wants to essentially call into question all of the statistics the police department has been gathering. That's what they're doing now. They're saying it's been manipulated, and that's why it's so the crime is down so much now. And they've also accused one of the police officers, commanders there, of lowering the statistical averages. But that is a retaliatory thing. It's in the weeds, but I'm thinking that there is a lot of truth to the fact that crime has gone down dramatically in D.C. It's gone down dramatically in all the cities across the U.S. They were accusing Biden of not taking care of crime. Crime was down dramatically everywhere. So they're going to have a hard time convincing other cities that they should be taken over by the National Guard in this case. And he wants to take over Chicago and L.A. again.
New York.
Yeah, New York. The whole thing.
You have spikes in events? Absolutely. Are there events that attract the attention appropriately of the media when they happen? Again, human calamity.
Yes.
But those statistics that you're talking about, where do they come from? They're from the Federal Bureau of Investigation. Where do they get their numbers? When, by law, they are mandated, that is, local municipalities and towns and villages are mandated to provide information about their own local statistics to the FBI for the purpose of assembling nationwide information. This is not made up by people in Washington, D.C. This comes from localities put together there so that we can identify exactly what you just said, John, Gordy, that we have had dramatic decreases once again in crime in recent decades, not just months, not just years, but in decades.
Talking to Jim Santel, attorney at law, and Jim,
you have something here about the D.C. Appeals Court.
Yeah, I want to ask you about that.
Let's find out. Is this something outrageous that we should be worried about, where they determine that Trump can lawfully terminate foreign assistance funding? Because, you know, the Supreme Court is handing Trump an awful lot of power at this point. Yeah. Now the D.C. Appeals Court has done pretty much the exact same thing. Is this something we should be worried about?
I think it is. This goes to the issue we note specifically, USAID funding cut. And again, statistics about the number of people overseas who likely died. We don't know that with great specificity, but likely died because of the lack of funding that we have now effectively pulled out. We know the USAID office in Washington, other places have been shuttered. And so we have, just yesterday, Federal Appeals Court, District of Columbia, this is a 2-to-1, 3-judge panel, a 2-to-1 vote. And against not the entire panel, but they basically said that under the something called the Impoundment Control Act, which is what the Government Accountability Office uses and invokes, president, that there, frankly, no independent entity, no independent person can challenge, so it's sort of a standing issue, can challenge the president's decision. Only the Government Accountability Office, which is government, the Congress's independent watchdog, they're the only ones that can sue. And interestingly, they haven't done that up to this point. Although, again, curiously, earlier in the year, the Government Accountability Office has founded that the president's impoundment of those funds authorized by Congress was illegal. So it's very, very wonky, very, very lots of things going on here. But the upshot is two judges out of three yesterday said he's got the capacity to do that. You do have a third judge. And that judge basically says court's holding that the grantees have no constitutional cause of action is as startling as it is erroneous. Goes on to say, majority holds that when the president refuses to spend funds appropriated by Congress based on policy disagreements, that is merely a statutory violation and raises no constitutional alarm bells. And that's what we've seen in virtually every other court out there saying, no, Mr. President, you can't do this. Only the Congress can do it. Only the Congress can affect tariffs and those kinds of things. This is another one. We've got two judges out of three. It's a large panel of total judges there. Maybe it'll go up to what's called an en banc hearing. But right now, you've got an appeals court that says, go ahead, Mr. President, keep those funds away. Even though Congress, the elected body of our nation, has said we want to support this overseas initiative to keep people alive, cultural issues, basically basic sustenance issues, economic issues, commerce issues, no more. Yeah. And our court today, one of the courts said, that's okay. What kind of an America are we, where are we thinking about right now when it comes to that sort of a ruling?
Right, exactly.
What about all these seem like side issues, but, you know, stuff at the White House where the president just wants to build a ballroom and he's going to pay for it, or he's going to get the funds to pay for it, or having a UFC fight. I can't believe I'm even saying
this. I know.
You know, on the grounds of the White House. I mean, to build any kind of building in D.C., don't you need to get that through Congress and get everybody to sign off on it and approve it? This ballroom is huge.
All kinds of things
that he wants to build.
Right. Ballroom is huge. And I suspect that's one party to which none of the three or four of us is going to be invited at any time soon.
No.
But the answer, of course, is remember that the White House is our house, right? The President of the United States does not own it. Have there been changes? Of course, the South Portico was added on during the Truman years, other things were renovated over time. And the issue, again, about whether those kinds of things should happen at the White House, certainly there is government involvement. And the notion you simply say, well, I own it right now, I'm going to build something here. And oh, by the way, others are going to support it. That may address some portion of the financial issue, but there are historical issues there. There are certainly just basically security issues related to establishing this, creating this huge entity, this huge thing that will be built there for what, presumably hundreds of people coming in. Yeah. Those issues have to be addressed. This is not just an independent thing that happens. Your point is exactly well noted.
Well, it's just another distraction. It's just another issue to take away from the Epstein files issues, which are going to continue.
Right,
He wants to deflect the attention away from that. And he's continuing to do that. It is 7:48. Jim, we can have you stick around if you're able to do that for a few more minutes. This portion of the show is brought to you by Madison Hearing Aid Center. Go to their website, madisonhearingaidcenter.com. They're family-owned and community-focused. And they offer convenience over complexity, helping people change their lives. Their number one goal isn't just selling hearing aids. It's improving the quality of life through better hearing. Call them today, 608-249-4077, or go to their website, madisonhearingaidcenter.com. Back with more with attorney Jim Santel on John and Gordy on WMDX Madison.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Where the action is,
right,
WMDX 92.7. Check out the Civic Media app too. We're there, and you can text us or voice note us as well. Tell us what you think. We want you on the program. Your thoughts.
Yes, you can also call us 608-879-8255. A few more minutes here with Jim Santel. And
Amicus, a law review. You can hear it on Saturdays from 9 to 11 o'clock p.m. No, I'm just kidding.
No, it's in the morning.
Don't tell
people that.
If only they would let me go 11, 12, 13 hours. We've got plenty of material. And
what the heck?
The lights would be off and producers would be gone, but Jim Santel just drones on.
Let's talk about the Supreme Court now taking on the case. This is something they turned down, I believe, in 2023, but they're going back to it. They have a majority now who agreed to take this case. It is the case in regards to the city clerk, I believe, that would not pass out a marriage certificate to a same-sex couple.
Yeah.
And I think this, now correct me if I'm wrong, but is this something to do with like a conscience clause where people have a religious belief and they get an exemption and they can actually turn down giving something up because of their conscience or their religious belief? Is that what this is about?
That's certainly what she maintains, but you really touched, John, on the real issue why this is so important and needs to be understood in terms of what it is. This is a clerk. She is Kim Davis. There are, as you know, I don't even know the numbers, probably tens of thousands of clerks across America. They're very important. They make government go, prince of municipal government, and they do what are called ministerial acts, which is you go and you pay your tax bill. Maybe you pay off a parking citation, all kinds of things. And yes, indeed, you go to get marriage licenses. And what happened, of course, is the Supreme Court a decade ago said it is now constitutional. You got a privacy right to same-sex marriage. And that applies to everybody across the nation, regardless of where you are, regardless of what your conscience or your religion may say. And what that means is that I cannot bring my particular view about religion, or should not be able to bring my view about religion, my conscience, into doing what are these ministerial acts. I've got an obligation to do that because that is what the law is. That's what the rule of law dictates. Mm-hmm. And what happens is she says, no, I'm not going to do that. And she gets involved and she is fined. She's jailed briefly. There's a several hundred thousand dollar fine against her for various things. And she is appealing that judgment now, saying that should not have happened. And buried inside that is this notion that she wants the Supreme Court Demerara to take on the case and then to overturn what it did in Obergefell, which is the case that affirmed privacy rights to same-sex marriage. So it is, there's a lot going on
here
again.
A bigger case,
It's a bigger case, but she's melding this inside this religious advocacy and maintaining that her decision as a clerk not to do what the people elected her to do is somehow forgiven by the fact, and the decision not to engage in what she is assigned to do, that is forgiven by the fact that she individually, personally, does not like what the law in America is. Well, there are two alternatives. One is you either follow that law in your role as a government official, mm-hmm. or you don't take that job. You don't run for it.
Yeah.
And we do not prevent you from thinking things and from advocating, again, in the privacy of your own conduct, what your religious faith is. We just prohibit you from bringing that into a ministerial act, something that she is obliged to do. She is just plain wrong on the law. And this notion that somebody's going to bootstrap a review of Obergefell for the Supreme Court, for what it's worth, you're right. The composition has changed after Justice Kennedy's opinion. There have got to be four justices who say, let's bring this on. An awful lot of people. I've stopped predicting what the Supreme Court is going to do long ago, right?
Yeah.
But the Supreme Court has got to say, yes, we're going to take that case on. There is still hope that at least six members of the Supreme Court will say, no, let's not revisit this. We've got other things to do. And so they may not decide to put this on their docket for October. But right now, you're right. The request is pending for the Supreme Court to take this on. They can also narrow the question. They can determine whether or not it's just a ministerial issue, whether they're going to go big and address Obergefell once again. But it is troubling that once again, we're back there. And the privacy rights, once again in the news, we know that at least one, if not two justices would be very much inclined in when it comes to all these kinds of things. This same-sex marriage, all kinds of marriage arrangements here, including a different race marriage, all those kinds of things could be back on the table.
Well, the thing that I always thought was, well, you know, it's unconstitutional to deny somebody else their rights. I mean, if they go in there and apply for a marriage license and you have some kind of religious conflict with it, you can't deny somebody else their First Amendment rights because then it becomes unconstitutional. I know this is very simplistic thinking. That's what I was taught when I was a kid.
Yeah.
So, you know, once you start taking somebody else's rights away, that's where the conflict takes place.
Exactly.
And in other words, you can't do it. And in this case, you know, she certainly wants these rights. You know, this is a dominionist thing, too, a religious dominion. They want religion to take precedent over constitutional law. That's what Christian nationalism is all about.
Mm-hmm.
So
we'll watch the Supreme Court very closely soon, see what they do. They've got a decision apparently on September 29th. They'll tell us whether they're going to be going ahead with this or not. I'll be back before then and see you on the 6th before then.
Yes,
so lots
will.
Of things to talk about.
All right.
We got to leave it there. Attorney Jim Santel, you can listen to his excellent podcast every Saturday morning on the Civic Media Radio Network. Jim, thanks for joining us.
Yeah.
Always a pleasure, gentlemen.
Coming up tomorrow on The Big Show, Pam Yonke will join us. Also, Savannah Tomei Olson with a news update and Rocker with a Max Inc. preview.
And I don't think we'll run out of Idiocracy.
Oh, we've got plenty of it.
No.
Yeah, we'll have that and a whole lot more. We hope you have a great day. Stephanie Miller is next. Thank you for joining us. So long.
See you later.
Hasta mañana.
Hit the bricks.
Yeah. Hit the road. Get out of here.
Here's the John Gordy
Show. The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.